Good morning. How are we this morning? As about like Chris when he did it, right? Happy New Year. Can we do that? Happy New Year again? Yeah. Amen. All right, man. We are glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. Man, it was an incredible year in spite of all the bad things, right? 2021. It was still an incredible year. The Lord moved. He did great things. And we are excited about what God has in store for 2022. And so this morning, we're going to be starting a new series titled Ascent, right? A Journey Towards Jesus. I'm really excited about this series because we are going to be going through the Psalms of Ascent. You may have never heard of them before. That's okay. You will by the time we are done. But what it is it's Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. And it's a series of 15 psalms that they would sing as the people of Israel journeyed towards Jerusalem go to the feast, the different feasts that they were appointed to go to in the Old Testament. So if you would, go ahead and turn in your copy of your word this morning to Psalm 120. If you go right towards the middle of your Bible, you'll hit one of the Psalms probably, and you can turn left or right from there to Psalm 120. And it's kind of cool because Psalm 118 is actually right in the middle of your Bible. And then following that is Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, and Psalm 120 is the beginning of the Psalms of Ascent. And as you're turning there, I want you to think of a time when maybe you were a long ways away from home, right? You were on a vacation, you were on a trip, you were a long ways away from home, and something not so favorable happened, right? You found yourself in a not so favorable situation. Maybe you had a flat tire. Maybe you got in a wreck. Maybe you got lost trying to get somewhere and you didn't have good cell service or something like that. Or maybe you broke your leg in the middle of a foreign country on a mission trip the very first day of the trip, right? True story, that happened to me about 7 years ago. I had an incredible opportunity and the privilege of leading a trip of both students and adults down to Guatemala City to this orphanage called Casa Bernabe. And as we were there, the trip started out amazing, right? It was a great trip. Seemed like everything was going good. We had a lot of good meetings going up to the trip. We had no hiccups on our way there. Nothing bad happened. It was awesome. There were no problems. And we got there. We got to spend the first night connecting with the kids and the house parents there at the orphanage and the leaders of the orphanage. And then the very next day was Sunday. And so we started out our trip to Guatemala City, being able to worship with their congregation, their people, just rejoicing in what God is doing there and spending this special time with them, spending a meal with them. And one of the cool things is on Sundays, they have a tradition there at this orphanage to play soccer. And so they asked us as the team to come and play soccer with them. And in spite of my better judgment, I decided that would be okay for me to do. And so I went and I started playing soccer with them. And what happened was a ball got kicked off and I went to go chase it down, try to run it down before it went out. And I got to the ball and as I went to go kick it, I planted my leg wrong and I went to try to kick the ball and I whiffed. Like it was probably hilarious, right? In fact, I know it was. Everyone there was laughing at me because I whiffed and I went tumbling down to the ground. But as they got closer, they realized it wasn't so funny because what happened is when I planted wrong and my kneecap came all the way over here, right? Ugh, I know, that's gross. And so my kneecap went all the way over to the side of my leg and I went tumbling down and they got over to me. They realized how gross it looked and that my leg was not shaped right anymore and all this stuff. And luckily we had a nurse on the trip with us. So she went over and found some bamboo shoots and got some towels and splinted, put me in a little splint. They loaded me in the back of this little Toyota pickup truck and we drove 45 minutes to the closest emergency room in the back of a truck with a dislocated kneecap. It was an incredible moment. It was fun, I promise. You should try it sometime. So no, don't really. So here's the thing. We got to the emergency room, and they looked at my knee, and come to find out, I not only dislocated my kneecap, I crushed my tibial plateau, right? And so they put me in this splint from my toes all the way up here, this hard cast splint, and they said, you probably want to go home back to America to get this looked at and fixed. And so we called our insurance, our travel insurance, all that, and they arranged me to get home. In fact, what they did is they had my wife, Jamie, who was back here at home, fly to Guatemala City all by herself, to the place she's never been, and try to figure that out on her own, come get me, and then take me back. And so it took like 3 days for that to happen. So I was sitting there doing nothing with this splint in the hospital, or not in the hospital, but at this orphanage. I was longing to be home, right? I was in a situation that was not favorable for me, and I was longing to be home. Have y'all ever been in a similar situation, like where you were just off somewhere and you were longing to be back home, right? I think we find ourselves in those situations from time to time. And today, as we start this new series through this Psalms of Ascent, what we're going to see is that this journey towards Jesus that we're going to be going on starts with us realizing our current circumstances, right? Realizing our current situations, realizing and having an awareness of what is going on around us, be it good or bad, right? And so in other words, our journey towards Jesus begins with us having a recognition of our need for Jesus. Right, that's where our journey towards Jesus begins. And the Psalms of Ascent is this series of psalms, like I said earlier, that many scholars believe were written as this collection of songs for the people of God to sing as they journeyed up towards Jerusalem for three different feasts throughout the year. And they were going to the tabernacle, right? They were going to the temple to worship and to praise the Lord. And it starts out with people who are making this journey realizing that they're not in a good place. Right, that their situation is not well, right? It's not good, that they're far from home and that they need the Lord, that they need Jesus. And the truth is, we're not in a much different situation as we begin a new year, as we journey towards Jesus together, right? We're constantly finding ourselves in a place or in a situation where we often, in fact, always need Jesus. Right, where we have to turn away from the ways of this world and turn towards Jesus Christ, our Savior. Right, we're constantly finding ourselves in a place that is far from our true home. And that's exactly where this psalmist finds himself this morning as we look at Psalm 120. Right, they're in a position where they're far from home and they need the Father. Right, they need Yahweh, they need the Lord. And they make this admission, as we're going to see. They make this proclamation as the very first song in worship on their journey towards Him, in their journey towards the Father. And so my prayer for us through this series as we begin it, as we journey towards Jesus together, and as we approach the celebration of Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, this series will take us all the way up to Easter, is that we can do the same. Right? That we can look at our current state of life, whether it's good or bad, and that we can realize that we often pursue the things that are not of God, that are not of the Father, that in reality, right, we're far from home as this psalmist recognizes and proclaims, and that we need Him, right? Every single one of us long for home, right? We long for a place to belong. We long for a place to call home. And what that means is we all long for Jesus. And so let's pray and we'll start this series. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place this morning. To sing songs to your name, Father, to proclaim your greatness, to adore you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word read over us. So God, I pray this morning you open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. All right, so as we read and study through these psalms, a couple of things that I want you to notice is that these psalms kind of have a central theme running throughout them, and it's the theme of divine protection and refuge in a hostile world. Right, divine protection and refuge in a hostile world. And because of this, I can't think of a better way to start out 2022, right, than going through these psalms. And these psalms, what they're there for is they're there to remind us that the current state of life that we're living in is one, it's not our home. right? This is not our home, right? Things that the current condition, right? The current way that this world is not our home, right? Things are not right. They're broken and they're hostile because of sin. The second thing it reminds us of is that we need to rely on, that we need to trust in God and his divine protection and in his wisdom and his way of love over any other way that this world offers us. And then the third thing that it reminds us of is that we have hope, right? We have hope. We have hope that one day Jesus is going to return and he's going to redeem and he's going to restore all things to their original state of being, right? To shalom, to perfect peace. And so Psalm 120 starts out like this. It says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips. Deliver me from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Now, you probably noticed something here, right? This psalmist journey towards Jerusalem for the festivals, it doesn't begin with a song of praise, right? This is not a happy song. This is not a song of praise, right? They didn't begin this journey on this high positive note like we probably would think they would, or like we would want to. In fact, they did the opposite, right? They began with a song of lament, a song of complaint, right? Lament is simply this. It's complaint that finds its trust in God, right? That's what lament is. And that's exactly what this psalmist is doing in Psalm 120. They're beginning their journey towards Jerusalem by saying, "In my distress," right? In my distress. That word distress, it comes from the root word that means narrow or confined, right? And so what the psalmist is saying is that they're in this tight situation, right? They're in this constricting circumstance. Things are not going good for them where they're at, right? Now, I love that they begin their journey towards the temple, right? Towards the house of worship, towards the dwelling place of God in this way. Because if we think about it, how often do we journey towards the house of worship in that same way? Every week, right? Every Sunday morning. We wake up and things are hard, right? It's hard to get to church. Kids aren't minding you. They're not getting dressed. They're sick. You stay up late the night before. You oversleep your alarm. Your clothes that you were gonna wear, you realize they're not clean. You're fighting with your spouse or your kids, and you're struggling in your faith because of your circumstances in life or whatever the case may be. But we fight through it, we get here, and sometimes our tendency is to put on a smiling face, right? And to greet people with, "Man, I'm good. Things are okay. They're great." When in reality, they're not. When in reality, we're desperate for change, we're desperate for newness, we're desperate for a wholeness in our life. And that's how the psalmist begins this song. That's how the people of God began their journey towards the temple in Jerusalem. They began it by recognizing and realizing the situation that they were in, and that they were in distress, that they had this deep longing for peace. They had this deep longing for wholeness. I love what Eugene Peterson once said about this. He said, "The dissatisfaction coupled with the longing for peace and truth can set us on a pilgrimage for a wholeness in God." And he goes on to say, "A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before he or she acquires an appetite for the world of grace." Right, we have to be fed up with the ways of this world. So our starting place for our everyday journey towards God, for our everyday journey towards Jesus, is found in our realization of our need for him. Right, that's where it's found. And Psalm 120 shows us this. It shows us that we have a decision that we have to make, that we have to realize that things are not the way that things are supposed to be, that there is a better way, there is a better life, there is a life that is more fulfilling and a life that is more abundant, and that life is only found in Jesus Christ, in our pursuit of him. That's where the psalmist is at. That's where the people of God, right? They're crying out in distress to the Lord for his goodness and his peace and his wholeness in their lives. But look at the rest of verse 1, right? First, the psalmist declares and it makes the proclamation that they're in distress. But he also reflects on the fact that when he was in distress before, that he knew he called upon the Lord and what? The Lord answered him. The Lord heard him and answered him. And so he also begins with a remembrance, right? He realizes where he's at, but he remembers what God has done. It's a reminding of ourselves of all that God has done for us before. That he's never left us. That he's never forsaken us. And so when we called out to the Lord in previous times of distress, he hears us and he answers us in his faithfulness, doesn't he? Right? And he does this in his goodness. And because of this truth, you and I, what we can do is we can rest assured that he's going to do it again and again and again and again. Right? We can count on the Lord to hear us when we cry out to him. We can count on him to hear us in the good times, and we can count on him to hear us in the bad times, especially in the bad times. What a powerful reminder, right? That in our present needs, God will continue to pour out his unending mercy and his unending grace upon us. And we can be sure of this because of his past faithfulness. Right? In other words, we can be sure that God will always respond in our times of need because he always has. Always. Right? When we cry out to God in our distress, he hears us and he answers our prayers. We heard this truth last week from the epistle of 1 John where John wrote this. He says, "And this is the confidence that I have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." Right? That's 1 John 5, verse 14. And so we can rest assured in the truth that God will always remain faithful. Always. Right? We can find great peace in our times of distress by reminding ourselves of this truth. And that when we cry out to him, he hears our prayers and he answers them. But we can't let it stop there either. Right, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of this psalm. Right, when we take stock of our current affairs, whether that's personal or national or even global, and we realize that we're far from home, that things in this world are not as they should be, right, we begin our journey towards Jesus. And even then, right, we can continue our journey towards Jesus by reminding ourselves of his faithfulness and his goodness. Right, by reminding ourselves that our hope is not in anyone or in anything else. It's not in what we can do, and it's not in what we have done. Right, our hope is found in him and in him alone, in his sovereignty and in his faithfulness. But look what the psalmist goes on to say, right, in verse 2. He says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue." Now here's the deal. This is the beginning of complaint, right? This is lament. The psalmist is describing and detailing the nature of their distress to God in this moment. And what they say is the nature of their distress is that they are surrounded by lying lips and deceitful tongues. We're not living in a different world today, right? We are surrounded by the same things. We're surrounded by lying lips and deceitful tongues. And what this tells us is this, right? God's word is timeless and it's always relevant, right? It always is relevant to what we're going through. The psalmist was distressed because of all the lies and all the deceiving tongues in the world around them. I love how the Message translation puts this verse. Eugene Peterson writes this in the Message translation. He says, "Deliver me from the liars, God. They smile so sweetly, but they lie through their teeth." Right, I think it's safe to say that people that we, right, can identify with this very thing today. Right, we're frustrated because of the lies and the deception that is all around us. Right, we're frustrated because of the violence and the condemnation that is taking place in this world every single day. And we're frustrated and distressed because of the world that we live in. It's broken. It's not right. It's not as it should be, and we can easily be deceived by things. We can be deceived by advertising. right? Get rich quick schemes, politicians, the news, false teaching in the church, all these different things, right? They're forms of deception, and we see so many sweet, smiling faces in all of these things, but in reality, what they're doing is they're lying through their teeth. A lot of them are. And so a careful reading through the Psalms and through the scriptures in general shows us that the psalmist despised deceitful speech and lying lips. Right? They continued to call it out and sought after the truth. In fact, Psalm 5:6 says, "You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." Psalm 36, verse 3 says this, "The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good." And in Psalm 101, verse 7, this is just three examples, right? "No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes." Right? The truth is we're constantly being fed lies. And listen, this isn't a right-wing versus left-wing issue, right? This isn't political. This is just the truth. Right? The world as we know it is ruled by the father of lies and is full of deceitful tongues and lying lips. Lips that tell us that everything is going to be okay. Right? That you can do what you want, you can live how you want, however you want, when you want. Right? Lips that tell us that we only need to look after and take care of ourselves and not our neighbors. Tongues that tell us that this or that will resolve the issue and make things better, or that if we vote for this person or that person, we can finally live in peace. But the reality is that those are all lies, right? They're lies because of this. Only Jesus can redeem and restore all things, amen? Right? Only Jesus can make things better and right. And the truth is that one day he will. One day he's going to, and we have great hope in that. But until then, we recognize and we call out to the Lord to deliver us from lying lips and deceitful tongues, to give us wisdom and discernment and recognizing the sweet smiling faces and realize that they're telling us nothing but lies, to give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear the truth that ultimately sets us free to live in the real truth, to live in Jesus Christ. And then going on in verse 3 and 4, the psalmist now, what he does is he changes his words, right? The direction of his words. He was speaking to God. He was calling out to God in his distress. And then now he's speaking to and confronting the enemy, right? And he's talking to them in a rhetorical sense, asking them a rhetorical question. And this is what he says. He says, "What more shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree." Right, the psalmist, what he's doing is he's using this figure of speech that what he's doing is he's taking the part, right, the deceitful tongue, to address the whole, the enemy. Right, he addresses the enemy by asking the deceitful tongue what will happen to him. And then he answers the very question in verse 4 by referencing a warrior's sharp arrows of glowing and glowing coals of the broom tree. See, these terms, right, sharp arrows and glowing coals, throughout Scripture, what they reference are weapons of mass destruction of that time period, essentially. Right? They were used to lay waste to towns and cities, to mow down communities. But they were also metaphors used to express God's divine judgment. And so the psalmist in this moment was expressing the fact that God will get his vengeance. Right, that God will be avenged in it, that God will use their very words to return judgment back upon themselves. And so essentially the psalmist is recognizing that the battle is not ours. It's not ours, right? It's not our fight. It's the Lord's fight, right? He is the one that gets vengeance. He is the one that is the avenger, and he will win. Right, it's a recognition of what is right and what is true. That our deliverance is not found in anything that we can do, but that it's ultimately found in the Lord as we move closer to him. That's what he's pointing out to us. And then the psalmist ends this song with more lament, right, with more complaint. verse 5, he goes on to say, "Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Again, this psalm is not a happy song, right? It's not a song that you're going to listen to in order to get excited about anything, right? But it's a song that is true, right? It's a song that represents the depths of our souls and how we feel about life in general at times. Right after, many of y'all know, we had the great blessing of going to Hawaii for a little while. And after coming back, my lament is, woe to me for living in Amarillo, Texas, right? Where the skies are brown and where we're more likely to have a brown Christmas than a white Christmas. Right? I'd rather have a green Christmas. But that's not what this psalmist is lamenting here, right? That's just my lament. What this psalmist is saying here is kind of confusing, though, because Meshech and Kedar are polar opposites of each other on the map, right? Meshech was on the northernmost border of Israel in what is modern-day Turkey, right? And they were a brutal people. They were a harsh people, and they were known for trading. And this is what they traded primarily in, copper and people, right? Copper and people, slaves, right? They were brutal and harsh people. Kedar was on the southernmost border of Israel, right? In the Arabian desert, and they were a warrior nation, right? They were ruthless fighters who would do anything in order to get victory. They didn't care what it was. There was no morals in their fighting. Right? The psalmist, he recognized this, and here's the thing, right? The psalmist was most likely writing from somewhere in between, somewhere in Israel. And so the psalmist, he wasn't using these two nations to describe where he literally lived. And in fact, most of the people who sang this psalm as they journeyed towards the temple didn't live in these places either. What the psalmist was doing is he was using them as a metaphor to describe what life was really like, right? That he was surrounded by ruthless, vile, lying, and deceitful people, right? He was pointing out that we live in a world that is violent and cruel and broken. He was taking notice of and lamenting the state of the world around him. And he was expressing this lament, this complaint, that finds its trust in God. And he goes on to say that for far too long, right, he's lived among these people. For far too long, he's lived among these people who hate peace. Right? He speaks for peace. He's all for peace, but they're for war. And so what he's doing is he's finding himself at complete odds from those around him. Right? He wants to seek the welfare of his city. He wants to see it flourish and thrive as we all should. But he's not seeing it, right? He's not seeing that in return. And here's the deal. Jeremiah tells us this in the book of Jeremiah. He says we should all seek for the prosperity of the city that we live in, right? We should build homes there, plant gardens, have children, and seek that the city should flourish and thrive, right? We should all live in such a way that seeks the welfare of Amarillo, Texas, every single one of us. Or wherever, whatever town we live in, Bushland or Claude or Canyon. Right, we should all live in such a way that seeks the prosperity of it. But as we do, hear me on this, there will be people and there will be philosophies and there will be laws that are set out against us. That's expected. And they're going to seem like they're at war against us. And this is where this psalmist is at. This is most likely where we're at today, especially over the past 2 years, right? But here's the thing, though. This psalmist, he was writing this song as the people journeyed up to Jerusalem for the different festivals, for three different festivals, for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths, right? It's a spring, summer, and fall deal that they would do. And then they would turn back to their homes and they would go back to where they came from. Or they would go back to the people, to the place that they were calling out for deliverance from, because of their distress. They were going back to the lying lips and the deceitful tongues. They had to return to the very place that they were praying for deliverance from. Think about that. Right, that was the whole purpose of this. Right, they were journeying to Jerusalem to go to the temple to worship God at the different appointed feasts. But after the feasts were over, they had to go back home. Right, they had to continue on with life in the trenches. They had to live there. Right, they had to work there. They had to do the dishes and the laundry and clean the houses. They had to raise their kids and be good neighbors. They had to seek the welfare and the peace of the city that they were living in all over again. And we're called to do the same, right? Every day and every week as we journey towards Jesus together and we go through the motions, right? A lot of times we tend to just go through the motions. We show up to church, we get filled up, and then we get sent out and we go through the motions again until Sunday. But what if we approached it differently? What if in 2022 we changed our mindset and we approached it like this psalmist did, that yes, we cry out in our distress. We lament, we complain about the current situation of life towards God in hope that one day he's going to make it all new and restore it all, but with full expectation that we have to come back to the world that we're living in. We have to come back and seek the welfare of those around us. That we have to love God and love our neighbor. What if we saw it as a pursuit or a journey instead of a routine? Just like they did. But I think if you notice, this psalm is left open-ended. Right? And I think that's why the psalmist left this open-ended, is because it's simply a beginning of a journey. Right? It's a journey from distress and despair that we currently live in to a destination of hope and fulfillment. Right? It's a journey to a sacred place, to Zion, to the dwelling place of God. It's a journey that orients our life to the source of life. What it is, it's a journey towards Jesus. And this journey, right, begins with this idea of repentance. So what we see here, repentance is the desire to turn from our own ways, right, and our own understandings, so that we can turn towards God in his ways and in his truths. In other words, right, repentance is saying no to the ways of this world and saying yes to the way of Jesus. Right, that's what repentance is. This psalm, right, is either the beginning of our journey towards Jesus. For some of us, it may be. It may be the very beginning. We repent and we turn towards Jesus for the first time. Or it's a reminder for us to turn around and move towards Jesus once again. Right, to pursue him and to pursue his ways and his truth in our lives. To pursue him. To make the decision to stop wishing for a better life. To stop wishing for something in this world to change outside of Christ coming back. Right, and to start hoping in that day. To start journeying towards the life that only Jesus gives us. So repentance, what we can see is three things in this, right? Repentance is one, allowing the truth of God's word to explain our lives. Right? It's allowing the truth of God's word to explain our lives. It's having an understanding of God's word and what he reveals to us about himself and about ourselves and about others and about his creation. It's having a hunger and a thirst for his word over the things of this world, right? That's where repentance begins. Repentance is also allowing the grace of God to fill our lives, right? It's a receiving of his grace over and over and over again. It's living in his grace, a grace that we don't deserve. And then it's allowing his grace to flow out of us into the world around us so that people can know his goodness and his grace. Right? It's not casting sharp arrows and glowing coals on others. It's spilling out his grace as he continually pours it into us. It's allowing his grace to fill our lives, but it's also allowing the forgiveness of God to renew our lives. Listen, we don't change to earn God's forgiveness. That's not how this works, right? That's a works-based religion. We don't change to earn God's favor either. That's still a works-based religion. We change because of God's forgiveness. That's why we change, right? We change because we know that God loves us and he's forgiven us of our sins. And so we have to realize that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's forgiveness. Nothing, right? We can't pray enough. We can't read enough. We can't give enough. We can't sing enough. We can't show up to church enough. We cannot do enough to earn his forgiveness. But here's the good news. He simply gives it to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Repentance is making the decision to allow his forgiveness to change us and to renew us. Right? It's allowing the love of God to bless us as well. See, God is love. Right? He loves you and he loves me. He is the giver of all good things. He loves to bless his children and to show them his great love, so that we will continue to move closer and closer and closer to him. Right? That's the end goal. The end goal is not his blessing. That's a means for us to grow closer to him. Right? His love, though, what it is often expressed through people. Right? His love is often expressed through people that he places in our lives. Right? And if you think about that, you can probably recall those people. Right, but also because of that, you and I have the opportunity to express his love to others as well. Right, this is one of the greatest blessings of his love, that we get to express his love to other people, that we get to experience his love for others, and we get to give his love to others. Right, and so repentance is allowing the love of God to bless us. See, our journey towards Jesus, it begins with a realization of our need for Jesus. It begins with repentance, right? It begins with realizing we live in this broken and dark world, and oftentimes we believe in or we buy into the lies that are fed to us, lies that deceive us into thinking that we can find peace when they're not really offering peace, and we can find wholeness when it's not really offering wholeness. And because of this, we must repent, right? We must say no to the ways of this world so that we can say yes to the way of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth. God, we thank you that you give us these words of old, Father, these words of wisdom and these songs that are meant to point us towards you. And not only point us towards you, but to move us towards you, to help us begin a journey to grow closer in our relationship and our walk with you. So Jesus, I pray that these words do that very thing. God, that they help us to realize the state of the world that we live in, Father, to help us realize that things are not good, that they're broken, that we are surrounded by lying lips and deceitful tongues of all sorts and all kinds. God, and that we, whether we realize it or not, we buy into those, that we believe them. God, that we think if we just have a better job and we make more money, things will be good. Lord, that if we could just have a better husband or a better wife, or our husband or wife would change, or whatever the case may be, then things would be better. But God, I pray that we will know and we will realize that truth and life and abundance and blessing is only found in you and you alone. But Lord, help us to recognize that. And Lord, then help us to cry out in our distress. Help us to complain to you, finding our trust in you. God, you are big enough for that. And we thank you. Lord, and then help lead us to repentance. Help us to see where we've messed up. Help us to see where we've chased after things that are not of you. Help us to turn from those things and turn and move Lord, towards you. God, let that be the beginning of 2022 for us, that we move towards you. God, we love you, and we're thankful for you. We praise your holy name. And your people said, amen.